One of the things that my father and watching my father and mother, my parents have been married for 50 years, 50 years of marriage, same as Pastor Terry and Susan. I've watched them be in love. I've watched them had their battles. I mean, you know, I've seen them battle financially. I've seen them scuffle. I've seen my dad. You know, I remember when because we didn't have a whole lot of money. I remember my dad having to pawn one of his shotguns to make the light bill. And I remember him writing out his tithe check on Sunday morning, just trying to. I mean, I don't think he did it to try to prove a point. I just saw him do that. I saw him write a tithe check out. And knowing that we didn't have any money, and he would say to me, son, this is where we trust God. Would you pray with me? This is where we trust God. And I saw time and time again where we needed to trust the Lord for certain things. And I remember when we would eat, we were eating government cheese. You know, they would send that box of cardboard cheese, you know, that if you ate it, would stop you up for 6 months. It was so it was gross. It was just, but it was all we had. We had powdered eggs for breakfast. We'd had that cereal with the milk, that powdered milk. We just had, that's what we had. You know, just things that we did. We ate bologna sandwiches. And there was a trick to the bologna sandwiches. When you eat fried bologna, you had to cut a slice in it so it wouldn't bubble up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I know y'all came from money and y'all don't know nothing about that. You don't know nothing about having to cut a slice, a little Pac-Man in the bologna so that it would stay still and wouldn't make a bowl out of it. So you had to cut it. And then on top of that, we could only afford the Wonder Bread. And when you ate the bologna and the Wonder Bread, it got stuck. Right? You know what I'm talking about? So you had to have a conversation because you were scraping the roof of your mouth with the Wonder Bread coming out. And so that's just how we live. That's just the way it was. And we had to trust God for everything. But I remember my father saying, son, I don't care how bad it gets. The one thing you can count on is the fact that God is in control and his salvation is now, and you will not want to live life without the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care what you go through. You can do anything through Christ, but the power of the Spirit that lives on the inside of you can do anything, can go anywhere, can break out of any mold. Whatever anybody has ever said to you to try to put you in a box, to try to keep the power of the Spirit of God on the inside of you is able to move you, transport you, get you to the place that God has for you. I don't care what man has said. I don't care what society has said. I don't care what the government, anybody else has said. When you are operating out of the power of the Holy Spirit, then you can do anything and no one can stop you. Nobody is able to keep you at that place when you realize that it is not you, but it is the power of God that is working through you. He would go on to say that it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that lives in you and quickens your mortal body. And so because of that, that is why this church is founded upon the Word of God, and also because Jesus has paid the price for our salvation. But we are a Holy Spirit brand church. We believe that the power of the Holy Spirit, through the quickening and the power of the Holy Spirit, is able to do things that your regular body and mind cannot do. Here's what God spoke to me this past week. He goes, I am a supernatural God who wants to do supernatural things for my supernatural people. So here's what that means. That means that his super has to exceed your natural. That means that there's some problems there. I know probably there are some things going on right now in your life that you cannot do by yourself, and you have got to have the power of the Holy Spirit. There are some things that you may be up against right now that you can't see around it. You can't see over it. You can't dig under it. But God says that by His Spirit, it's not by your might. It's not by your power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Come on. His Spirit is on the inside of us, wanting to get out. But if we'll be a people who will just come in and just go to church services and play nice, then things won't change. But if you recognize the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you, that's able to take you places that you can't go by yourself and to do things that you can't do by yourself. And that's why David said, by my God, I could run through a troop and I could leap over a wall. That sounds like Superman to me. Able to leap a building in a single bound. You know, I'm not Superman. I got shot. Bullet came right through and bounced off. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you. But no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment shall condemn. Spirit of God. So I think we ask the wrong question sometimes. We ask the question, do you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? See, I think that's the wrong question. Let me tell you why I believe that. Because my dad told me, he goes, son, when you find the right person, you'll know. Anybody, your parents ever told you that? You'll just know. You know, when you find the right person, talking about my wife, he goes, you'll just know. And so I remember driving to Christ for the Nations. Vanessa and I were dating. Driving to Christ for the Nations. And I was asking the Lord. I go, Lord, am I supposed to marry Vanessa? Am I supposed to marry her? Day in and day out, I lived here in Carrollton, and I was staying with a family who was going here. So we were going to sojourn, and I would drive all the way to Christ for the Nations in Dallas. And I had took that time, and I was just spending time, just asking, Lord, am I supposed to marry this girl? I love her. You know, now we're going to take the next step. You know, she's got to meet my folks. You know what I'm saying? Am I supposed to marry her? And it was simple for me. This is what the Lord said. He goes, why not marry her? That's what he said to me. Why not? Why wouldn't you marry her? And I'm just like, let's try to list the things of why I wouldn't be able to. She can cook, you know what I'm saying? She's great. She got great personality. She holds me accountable. I'm like, why not? Now, for her, when I told her, I said, listen, I feel like I got a word from the Lord. Feel like the Lord has released me that I feel like I'm supposed to marry you. And she said, well, he hadn't told me that. That's what she said, which sounded a lot like the first time I asked her out. I said, I'm developing feelings for you. She goes, well, I'm flattered, but I'm not interested. I've never had any girl tell me no about, so I just put on the charm. You know what I'm saying? So for her, it sounded like that again. I said, hey, I feel like the Lord's really supposed to marry. She goes, well, I hadn't heard that. And she was getting ready to go on a mission trip to Africa. And I was hoping that the Lord would speak to her while she was in Africa, you know. And so I think he did at some point because she married me. But let me tell you what happened. She went on a walk. And all of a sudden, she's going on a walk asking the Lord if she's supposed to marry me. And all of a sudden, she looked over on a cliff. And a baboon held a lion over a cliff. And she heard, and all of a sudden, all the zebras and all of the different crocodiles and birds and all the different things came around. And they go, you got a man at home, you got a man, you got a man at home, you got a man, you got a man at home, you got a, it's time. You know, the brother, he held the baboon over the deal and they were singing that. And then all of a sudden a crane came out and said, in the circle of life, you gotta go back home. Anyway, so finally she came back and she realized that she had one of the, all them Africans running around with spears and, you know, dress. She goes, I got one of them at home. And so she came back and she said, I feel like the Lord said yes. all of that, speaking to her. Now, y'all know I'm lying. That never happened. But she did go to Africa, and then she came back and said yes. But here's the deal. Sometimes it takes all the different things for us to be able to hear the Lord. And the Lord says, I'm always speaking. And so the question is not, do you want to receive him? The question is this, why wouldn't you want the Holy Spirit? Why wouldn't you want the Holy Spirit? Why wouldn't you want the power of the Holy Spirit? Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Let's look at some scriptures. Listen, look at John chapter 5. Here's what it said. John chapter 5, verse 26, I'm going to put it on there because I only have a few minutes left. But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you, 5:26, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Who wouldn't want a helper? Who wouldn't want to help her? John 14:16-17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Parakletos is talking about, this is what he said. I will pray the Father, and he's going to send you a helper. Now, here's the deal. He's going to be another helper of the same kind. He will be in you. Now, when I leave and go away, I'm going to send a helper. Anybody need a helper? Who wouldn't want a helper? I need the helper, the Parakletos. He's going to come in. He's going to be another helper of the same kind. That means you're not going to lose any power. You're going to lose anything because he's going to dwell in you and he's going to abide with you. Anybody want a helper? I want a helper. Who wouldn't want an advantage? John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away. The helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Why wouldn't you want the helper? Number four, he's our teacher. Why wouldn't you want a teacher? Here's what it says in John 14:25-26. Jesus said this, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Not just something. He'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance the things that I have said to you. He'll bring to remembrance all the things that he said. Who wouldn't want that kind of a teacher? Why wouldn't you want the teacher, the helper? And why wouldn't you? Anybody's ever been to a restaurant and you're with a big group of people and the waitress or the waiter comes and you order and you always got somebody in the group that's complicated. You might know what I'm talking about. And then you say this to them. Aren't you going to write that down? And they go, nah, I got it. And it never fails when I'm ordering. I don't know if it happens to you. It never fails that they forget something. Because they think they remember it, because they think they're all that in a bag of chips and a Diet Dr. Pepper. But they're not, and they'll forget things. I'm telling you what, I forgot stuff that I did yesterday. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But here's what he said. He says, I'm going to bring all things to your remembrance, all the things that Jesus has said. He's going to bring all those things to your remembrance. I believe that my wife has the Holy Spirit continuously. Because not only does she remember the stuff that she said, she remembers all the stuff that I said. What I had on, my hand gestures, and my mouth when I fixed it to say whatever it was I was going to say. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ain't that right, Mr. Johnson? You know what I'm talking about. The truth is that God, he said, listen, you need to remember those things that I've told you simply because in the middle of battle, you ain't got time to break out the word. You're going to need to have the word of God on the inside of you. And the Holy Spirit will bring that up to your remembrance. All the things that Jesus has said. In the middle of a fight, you can't be talking about where my sword is. You got to know that the sword is on the inside of you. That's why Colonel West says you need to bring your sword, bring your Bible, bring your Bible. The reason why you need to have your sword. Well, how many of you guys remember? Tell the truth. I'm about to date myself. Remember we used to have sword drills in children's church? Come on, raise your hand if you remember you have sword drills. Some of y'all didn't have sword drill in children's church and it shows. It shows. Man, I'm telling you what, I would whoop up on me. I memorize scripture. You know, I'm telling you, we memorize scripture. I'm telling you just what we did. And so I'm just bring it to your mind. So he says he'll bring it. The Holy Spirit will do that. Who wouldn't want the anointing of the Holy Spirit? 1 John chapter 2, 26, 27. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. How many know there's people always trying to deceive you? But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it's taught you, will abide in him. Who wouldn't want the Spirit of adoption? Who wouldn't want the teacher? Who wouldn't want the helper? Why wouldn't you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Say that. Do you want to receive? Why wouldn't you want to receive everything that the Holy Spirit has to offer? Oh, and here's what I love about this scripture. I do want you to turn to this one because we're going to read this together. Romans chapter 8. Turn to Romans 8. This is the last scripture I'm going to read, and then we're going to pray because I'm believing the Holy Spirit's going to come in here and get a hold of some of you. So Romans chapter 8. We'll start at verse 18. It says this. You've heard it before, but we'll read it. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Because that means the stuff that you're going through right now is not even comparing, not even comparison, which the glory that God's going to get out of your life. Some of you are going through some things right now. You're just like, Lord, I don't know how you're going to get the glory out of this. I don't even know how I'm going to get the victory out of this. But God, who knows the beginning from the end, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's the one who says, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. He's writing the chapters of your life, and right at the place where you feel like the plot thickens and you just can't take it anymore, that's when he says that he's a very present help in time of trouble. And not only that, he says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Right in the nick of time, right in the nick of time. He said, don't worry about it. I know you're going through it right now, but cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. And so you can trust in the Lord. He says, whatever you're going through right now, it's not even going to be considered to the glory that's going to be revealed in you. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Does anybody have the first fruits of the Spirit? Does anybody have the first fruits of the Spirit? Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Have you ever been in a trial or situation so bad that you can't say nothing, but you just groan? Anybody ever been in one of those I don't even know. And you groan within yourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Now, here's what I want you to get. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. Aren't you glad about that? And listen, we stopped there just for a minute. Yes, that's a sermon in and of itself. How many of you ever get to a place sometimes where you don't even know what to pray for? You don't even know how to pray. You don't even know what to say. Anybody ever been to that place? I have been in a place where I just like, fix it, Jesus. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You don't have the words. That's why Taylor Swift talking about Jesus take. No, that wasn't Taylor Swift. Jesus take the wheel. Who was that? Underwood. She said, Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from. And then they did a little deal where he was like, oh, take the wheel, Lord. Listen, I'm telling you what, Jesus got more steering wheels than we know what to do with. because we try to take the word. It's like, listen, we don't even know what to pray. But here's what is good about why not have the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit of God prays for us even when we don't know how to pray or what to pray. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So whatever God wants, the Spirit prays. What the Spirit prays, the Spirit gets, because it's according to God's will. So that's why not have the Holy Spirit? Because he prays for us. Anybody want prayer from the Holy Spirit? Listen, this is what's cool about that. I want you to wrap your mind around this just for a minute. Think about this for a second. You approach God. You got a situation going on in your life that you cannot see around it. You don't know how to pray. But thanks be to God, because the Spirit of God is on the inside of you. And you go, I don't even know what to pray. Spirit of God goes, that's all right. I'm making intercession for you already. I've been making intercession for you, but I don't know what to pray. It's all right, because I am the Spirit of God who brings forth the will of God so that I can bring forth the fruit of God, the fruition of God, all the things in your life that you can't even figure out, because I'm praying according to the will of God for your life so that it can happen. So when the Spirit prays, he prays what God has said. Well, what is God saying? The Spirit prays the Word of God, because the Word of God is his will. The Spirit and the Word agree. They don't go separate, they agree. So the Spirit of God, working by the will of God through the Word of God, is bringing forth the fruit of what God is wanting to work in your life. That's why when you say, God, give me patience, he don't just give you patience, but he gives you opportunity for patience to happen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Lord, I want to be patient. I want somebody to cut you off. Lord, I need you now. You know what I'm saying? The Spirit of God working in. So God is working his will in your life by his Spirit. Even in your life. It's not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit, says the Lord. Why not have the Holy Spirit? Why not invite the Holy Spirit to work in your life? Because he's working on the inside to bring about God's will on the outside, so that you can do what God has called you to do and be who he's called you to be.